We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. American playwright Bill Kane writes smart, funny plays. Milwaukee audiences were introduced to his play Equivocation at Next Act Theater last winter, and now they have a chance to see a show just as funny and sharp, but a lot more personal, as Kane tackles the story of the end of his mother's life.
Next Act Theater is producing Kane's play How to Write a New Book for the Bible, which opens tonight. And we're joined now by Next Act's producing artistic director, David Cesarini, and actors Carrie Hitchcock, who plays Mary, the mother of the family, and Jack Dwyer, who plays son Bill. David, Carrie, and Jack, it is such a pleasure to have you in the studio this morning. Thanks for coming over from rehearsal hall to talk with us.
Our pleasure, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, David, let's start with this play. This is the second one of Bill Kane's, and I had the extreme pleasure of interviewing him about Equivocation when you did that. And so what is it about his work that is so appealing to you, and what is this particular play about?
I was reading plays, trying to pick plays for a season, and you keep reading these B-minus, B-plus plays, and then you come across a writer like Bill Kane, and in two pages, first you're hooked, and in two more pages you realize what a fabulous writer he is. So first and foremost, he's a great writer. He's smart, he's surprising, and his style of this, he loves jumping around in time and space and messes with you temporally. And I think that's exciting in the theater.
So. Temporal messing.
Yes.
I like it.
Oh, wow. So this particular play, as opposed to Equivocation, is an autobiographical, very personal journey for Bill. Centered around the last 9 months of his mother's life when he moved to her home in Syracuse, to their family home, to shepherd her through her final days struggling against terminal cancer. And he took copious notes, and it feels like this play is him looking back on this experience, reflecting on it and his family and growing up and seeking meaning, seeking deep meaning of the meaning of life is pretty much a cliche, but it's truly, I think, what he's seeking in this. So we get a kaleidoscope. We meet his family members, his brother, his father, and his mother in various times and days of their lives and growing up, and we learn the rules of the family and how they all got along. And Bill seems to unpack the mystery of each one of those people, including himself.
And it's such a universal thing, right, to shepherd a parent at the end of the life. I mean, particularly there are three of us in the room, Jack accepted here, who are at that age where we've either done it or we're going to do it or we're in the middle of doing it.
Right.
And and you were in that sort of sandwich generation where, you know, it's a very much a reality.
Yeah. Although I just read something about millennials, really, you know, their grandparents, so they're caregivers for theirs. So it does include Jack as well. You know, they're just, but that's the great thing about the play. It's just such a universal experience. And I'm hoping that the audience is going to go, oh, yeah, that reminds me of what happened with my family, or it's just going to start so many conversations. Because I think when I think of my own experiences, my own parents, there were so many family stories. So
well, and the thing that I think Bill does so well as a playwright is that he captures the humor in all of this, too.
Yeah.
Because we all think of this is like it's a sad thing and, you know, it's the end of life and all of that. But, you know, there's always just wacky family humor.
Yeah. Definitely. We were reminded of that in the designer run that we had the other day. People very much, he kicks it right off with humorous circumstances. So, you know, you're in good hands. But what flashed on my brain just now is, similar to Equivocation, this is an heroic story. Bill looks at his family and their ways and how they loved each other, and they are heroes to him, I think. Tell us about Bill.
I was going to say, because Jack, you are Bill.
Well, I am Bill. Yeah. I'm playing Bill. Bill is very curious, and I think, you know, what starts out this journey of looking at his family, you know, something that happens when you realize that your parents are going to disappear, you realize that you're going to change forever, that your life is going to change forever. And all of these things that you've come to love and rely on about your family are going to change once they vanish away. And I think that precipitates a crisis of faith. I'm not using the word religion, but a crisis of faith. There's a question, how am I going to go on? Who am I going to become? And what do these people mean to me? And how do I figure that out before I never see them again? And that is a profound experience. And I think one of the ways Bill actually deals with that experience in the play is through his humor. He's actually angry at death. He wants to mock it. He sort of wants to take everything that's special about his family and hold it triumphantly above the void and make it into a banner.
Well, that goes back to the hero, is what we were talking about.
Yeah,
making them heroes in the face of the inevitable. I mean, because the thing is that I think a lot of people are angry at death. I think most of us are, you know, at some point in our lives, you know, we're horrified by it and we're, you know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and you're standing at that precipice going, no, wait a minute. This is different.
And it's a paradox because we all know it's something that's going to happen inevitably to every one of us, to every one of our parents. But at the same time, it's intolerable. How can we put up with that?
Mm-hmm. And we shouldn't have to.
Yeah, exactly.
You had the pleasure of actually meeting Bill and working with him, right?
I did. I worked with...
Not on this play, though.
Not on this play. I worked with Bill Kane at the Ojai Playwrights Conference in 2011 while he was developing the play 33. I was an intern at the Ojai Playwrights Conference, and my playwriting teacher, Wendy McLeod, God bless her, decided to put me in Bill Kane's room. And that was quite an experience. I got to sit through a week of developing this play with Bill. I don't believe it's been produced yet. I think he's probably still working on it. Like this one, it was very personal, and it had vast temporal jumps, much vaster than the ones in this play, actually. It jumped between about 2016 A.D., and 20 A.D. It went back in time to the crucifixion. Yeah, and so that was kind of a nice little preview for what this experience has been like, actually, because the journey of working on a Bill Kane play jumping through time. There were certain things I was ready for.
Carrie, were you ready for them?
I thought I was ready. Uh-huh. we kind of, yeah, I mean... It's interesting to go back and forth. I get to play minor, you know, minor. I play a 30-year-old, and then I bop up to 82. Mm-hmm. I would say most of the play is really centered around his mother, Mary, at you know, in her 80s and going through her death. But then every once in a while, we just kind of see what she was really like when she was a young woman. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I did read the play. I was there. I don't know if my knees have always been ready to be there, but with the understanding of my cast members.
It's quite a workout.
We go. Yeah.
Both. I was going to say both a physical workout and an emotional and mental one, too, I imagine.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. He says, places and times change, sometimes with notice, more often without.
Absolutely. You were saying before we turned on the microphones that one of the great things about his scripts is that his stage directions can be fun.
Yeah. It's more than this piece of furniture moves here. He'll often suggest a nature of the delivery. One of his fun expressions when he wants something to really snap, he uses the term whip crack. And when they're having a quick argument back and forth, whip crack this and whip crack that. And here's his description about the character of Bill. Should be late 20s, playing Bill at all ages, the author would be grateful if you cast the part attractively. Bill is passionate rather than nice, true rather than kind. Emotional volatility helps. Those are all wonderful clues to what he envisions as that character.
Yeah, how wonderful. Because oftentimes as actors, you don't get that kind of direction or insight from the playwright.
Right, you know, and he's usually very polite, too. It's such a kind, you know, would you please do this?
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah. This is something you should consider.
Yeah.
You know, I would be so appreciative if you did. which is a wonderful thing.
Uh-huh.
David, for the other cast members who aren't here, how has the process been navigating through all of this for the cast as a whole?
Speaking from my director's chair, it's been a blast. It's been really fun to figure out where we are at any given time, and even from line to line, there are shifts. But we've worked on this, I think, as a really strong ensemble. I hope our cast feels that way. They've helped us find things that I've skipped over, and we go back to it, and they've thought, no, 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 there's really something there to mine, and dug in deeper, and there it is. So it's been really fun. So you always wish for a cast who is ready to just dig in as deeply as possible and try. And so we've found the ideas come up, and you use the best one in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so Norman is actually playing your husband in the play as well.
And then Jonathan Wainwright is our fourth. So, I mean, all shrinking violets.
Oh, completely. I mean, so you can't ever get them to talk.
Yeah, but to have that group of old friends, not too old, but but there's that familiarity. And so we have that wonderful trust. And then we get Jack coming into this, who is so smart and so wonderful. And he holds his own very nicely.
I was going to say, how is it to walk into a room full of people who've worked and known each other for a very, very long time, and you're sort of the outsider coming in?
It's actually something that you do a lot as a young actor. So I'm used to it to an extent. Some of the past places I've worked have been a Trinity Rep and Shaw Chicago and American Players Theater. And in all of those environments, you sort of walk in and you greet a group of people who have worked together for years and years. And you're very lucky when it's a group of people who are passionate and hardworking and who are willing to help support you.
And welcome you in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was such a relief. I met Norman before. I've worked before with Norman. So I had some familiarity.
So you knew what to expect.
I knew what to expect. Yeah. He's our entertainment.
You thought, okay, if the rest of them are like him.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And again, this is something that I love about the Milwaukee theater community is that we have a chance as audience members to re-meet all of you again and again and again in these different roles, different ways of stretching. And it's like, we know you, but we don't. And so there's like room. It just like keeps adding these wonderful layers to it. And I'm wondering, Carrie, for you, I mean, you've done so many shows here. You and Norman have done things together, things separately.
We have.
How does it feel to have this artistic home here?
I mean, that's ideal. It really is. And especially to be at this point in your career where some people know you, you know, and who you are and get to know, especially since I was away from theater for a good decade, to come back in 2014 and to see all of the developments that have happened and to work with all these exciting new people and go, oh, wow. Of course, you're also playing the mom a lot, too, or the grandmom, as the case may be. But that involvement and that special feeling, I don't think there's anything like it. I really think that's what makes, as you said, makes Milwaukee special.
David, we've been talking since, I got here in 2006, so we've been talking since then.
Yeah.
Lots of changes have happened with the company since then. You moved spaces, people left, people died. How is it feeling now? I mean, you've been doing this a long time here.
It feels like we've almost got a rhythm going.
you finally figured it out.
maybe. I always think that about every other year. Oh, I've got to figure it out now. And then it's a whole different experience the next year. So, but I think being in the new space now in our eighth season has sort of regularized things a bit, the way the production schedule is, who we expect to come, how we reach out to people. But it changes year by year according to what our product line is, you know. No matter how well you do the last year, you have to change it up. So every production is still a crapshoot in a way. Who's going to take you up on it? What will be the perception out there? Like for this one, How to Write a New Book for the Bible. Okay. As Jack referred to, it's about faith and meaning. It's not about organized religion in any particular way.
Though Bill is a Jesuit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so much more than that. It's such a beautifully moving tribute to love and survival and the meaning of family, the meaning of oneself, one's being. and our place in the universe.
David Cesarini directs Next Act Theater's production of How to Write a New Book for the Bible. Carrie Hitchcock portrays mom, Mary, and Jack Dwyer plays her son, Bill. The show opens tonight and runs through the end of April. There is more information at WUWM.com.